Thank you. Thanks, Denny Shay. I hope you all had a great practice. While I have everyone in an alert state of consciousness, hopefully you're alert, I wanted to go over what the afternoon practices are going to be so that you can think about this and perhaps pair off with somebody for those of you that are in person during the break. And of course, you'll be, for those of you that are at home, you'll be paired off in a breakout room. But this afternoon, you'll have two options with the practice session. You'll either facilitate a group practice with your partner, pretending that they're a group of 30 people, if you know that you want to focus on teaching groups. But we also have the option to work with the final worksheet, which is the Stream Entry Co-Meditation Dyad worksheet. And this is the worksheet that's most similar or supportive to you when we're sitting with somebody one-on-one or somebody comes up to class, because it's not keeping them to any particular kosha. We're meeting whatever arises, and we're not using a specific stepping back or opposites. We have them as options if they come up for the person that we're with. So you could also facilitate the co-meditation dyad this afternoon. So the tricky part for those of you at home, it's not that tricky. You just have to agree that hopefully whatever the person is that wants to facilitate, hopefully the person that you're offering that to will be open to receiving. And that's true. You guys can talk about it here in the room. So you might be with your partner, you may be teaching them a group practice, but they may be facilitating you in the stream entry co-meditation dyad. So you may not be doing the same things. But what you can use, the Stream Entry Co-Meditation Dyad worksheet is in your reference guide on pages 67 through 70. And that's what I'll be have next to me when I do my dyad demo this afternoon. And if you'd like to work with the group scripts, any of the scripts are an option for you. We have the Master 35-minute script. That's in the reference guide on pages 43 through 50. So that's one that you could use in a drop-in class, or it's one that it's similar to what we use in research. Or there's also the third or group or fourth group practices. The third group practice, page 27 through 33 in your reference guide. That one has a focus more on Vijnanamaya kosha. And then the fourth group practice on page 35 through 41, that has more of a focus on Asmitamaya. So whatever you want to do as a group, you get to choose. So I wanted to let you know that before this afternoon. Does that make sense? Yeah. Great. Okay. The other thing I wanted to open it up for is just if there are any questions about what I covered this morning about Asmitamaya kosha or the map of meditation and what we're opening up to when we move beyond Asmitamaya. I did see one question that came through that asked if there was a number 39. I wasn't referencing a number 39. I was saying that once we get to 38, really we're off the map. We're beyond any map at all, right? So what I was referencing is all sense of separation has fallen away. All sense of even awareness has blinked out, you know, because awareness will blink in and blink out. That's what we know. And it's spanda blinking in and blinking out. And it happens so quickly that we don't even realize that it's happening, you know? But there is a possibility in deep absorption meditation that even awareness, pure awareness, may drop away. And it feels very different when we come back. There's like a perfume that's there that feels very different than falling asleep. It can feel very healing. We know we've gone somewhere where we've not been. You know, I go somewhere where I cannot go. There's no I-ness that's there at all. So. Anyway, that's what I meant by being off the map. There's no 39 per se. Yeah. Okay. And there's a question here. So,
I was just wondering, does every human have the ability to reach these levels of awareness? Or I'm thinking about like Buddhist monks or like, you know, folks that like meditate their whole life, do they reach something higher? If that makes sense.
There's nothing higher than being off the map that I'm aware of. But these are descriptors of the deepest meditative experiences or unfoldings that can occur. And, but yes, anybody has the capacity to open into this. If you understand this, if this is our essential nature, and you'll have to see if that's true for you, then why wouldn't anyone be able to open into this? Why not? Or to have a glimpse somewhere along the line. Now, that may not mean that we're stabilized as it within this lifetime, but absolutely, it is our essential nature that once it comes online, there's more and more of a stabilization and an integration that happens throughout our lifetime of recognizing this essence that's here, that's shining through everything. So yeah, it's absolutely possible. If it wasn't, then it wouldn't be something that is an underlying essence to everyone. If it's truly our essential nature, then every single one of us has a capacity to wake up to who we are. It's already here. It's just the simplest turn of attention. It's so simple, but it's not easy. And that's why when the Buddha awakened, he said that he didn't think he was going to teach. He intended not to teach because he said, this is so simple. It's so subtle. He didn't think anybody would be able to grasp it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we're opening into while we're here, I have some quotes from the Buddha of describing this. Here, I'll read them to you. And then, was there another? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me find it. I have a lot of poems in here. Oh, there's the love one. Of course, it's going to be at the very end. It's going to be the last page. Serious. Okay, here we are. I have a few quotes here. It's in such a way, it's hard to read. Wow. Okay. So here's one by Johannes Tauler, and he was a German mystic theologian, and he was around, and he was greatly influenced by Meister Eckhart from. You know, Tauler lived in 1300 to 1361. And here's how he describes it. And this is, you know, when we're opening into pure awareness and then beyond. It's called the divine ground. Beyond this, we are led into another heaven, which is the divine essence itself, where we lose ourselves so completely that no trace of ourself remains. What happens to us there? What we experience and enjoy, no mind can ever experience, conceive, or understand. Indeed, how could the mind ever grasp such a thing? For so submerged are we now into the divine ground that we know nothing, feel nothing, understand nothing but God alone in God's simple, pure, undisguised unity. And so if God doesn't resonate, we could just put it in with the mystery. Indeed, how could the mind ever grasp such a thing? For so submerged are we now into the divine ground that we know nothing, feel nothing, understand nothing but the mystery alone and the mystery's pure, simple, undisguised unity. And the Buddha said this. He said, there is a sphere of experience that's beyond the entire field of matter. The entire field of mind that is neither this world nor another world, not both, neither moon nor sun. This I call neither arising nor passing away, nor abiding, neither dying nor rebirth. It is without support, without development, without foundation. This is the unborn, unbecome, uncreated, unconditioned. This is the end of suffering. Yeah. Okay. There was another question here.
So I think you touched on this a little when you said, you know, once your eyes open that, you know, you're not, maybe you forget, but there's this experience. So these are steps for meditation. And like, is the thinking here, or maybe not the thinking, the feeling that, you know, there's this intentional meditation practice, but then elements of this will be coming up just in everyday life for those of us who are in this world. How does that look, or what's the, maybe shouldn't be an expectation, but sort of like, what does that look like in life?
Yeah, it can happen to anybody. It's happened to those that have gone to war, and some people have opened up to this in the middle of the theater of war. And they've recognized that they're not separate from anything, because sometimes an extreme moment may catapult us out of a sense of separation. I've heard athletes describe it. That's different than just being in the flow or the zone, where they're describing an utter perfection of not being separate, and this sense of not just, you know, throwing the ball, being the ball, the, you know, feeling it all unfolding. This can happen to anybody in the first class that we drop into. This opened up for me when I was a senior in college. I was power walking along the Hocking River in Ohio University, in Athens, Ohio. I didn't have a day of meditation, well, not formal meditation. I had been, you know, a dancer when I was little, and I was power walking. So I think I was meditating. I was body sensing. I was doing breath sensing without, you know, a formal yoga meditation of it. I had no orientation. It was just power walking. And all sense of separation dropped away. I felt myself as the ground, the birds in the sky itself. There was a highway on the other side of the river, the cars. There was no separation. There was no Stephanie. The body was like just this transparency. And then it was but the essence was everywhere. There was no separation. I had no idea what was going on. And it started an immense search, right? And I could tell you, when I came back in my body, I felt very metallic and very, it felt like my body was mechanical, you know? And then it, you know, there were other experiences, driving a car, long Lakeshore Drive, fascinating, being the cars, nobody driving, driving happening, but it wasn't scary at all. We don't need the separate sense of self in order for all of this to function. So it happened, and this is not special. It goes back to the original question, can this happen to everybody? Absolutely, right? So this is why we have orientation, because somebody could drop into your class, because I didn't know this, I didn't know any of this. And then I dropped into my first Yoga Nidra class with Perez in Chicago and Illinois, this amazing somatic teacher, yoga therapist. And I was just dropping into an asana class, and he happened to be teaching Yoga Nidra that day. And he said, you know, if you like this, tell the yoga studio owner, and if you have any questions, come up to me after class. And that was my next experience where all separation, it was like the years before where I was in college. This was many years later, maybe 8 years later, and all sense of separation dropped away. And thankfully, he had food. He helped me ground at the end. And that's when I was like, ooh, what's this Yoga Nidra, right? So your people in your class that have no orientation, or it may happen to you, they may open up in body sensing portion, and they may open right up and feel their everywhereness. And that's why it's important that we talk about this here, so that you have some understanding, even if it's not something that's your firsthand experience. If your student comes up after class and they're questioning, or they're really blown out of the water by it, you can normalize this for them. You can contextualize this for them. We're becoming really skillful meditation teachers. We can ground them in this. Let them know, yes, this is what can happen. Yes, tell me more, right? And give them a little bit of an anchor. And then if you're not the one to help them orient, you know, you know a community of teachers where we have people that can support people that are opening in this way. Or you get mentoring so that you can continue to help. But absolutely, it happens in everyday life. It's a direct path is what can open up, where it's a direct understanding. It's revelatory. It reveals itself. You don't have to walk on your knees. Here's the poem. You don't have to walk on your knees 1,000 miles repenting, right? That's a piece from a Mary Oliver poem, I think, right? We don't have to purify. This is already the case, and it can reveal itself in the blink of an eye. And in fact, if you've been somewhere and all of a sudden there's just like a hush or something comes over and you're walking, and watch how quickly we might walk right past versus what if you pause and you feel into this? What is this? Sometimes we might have that essence of something just, we can't name it. It's like something's invisible here that's just asking us to pay attention. Pay attention. And not with your thinking mind. Pay attention with all these practices of somatically feeling in, right? And see what unfolds. So there's the direct understanding, and then there's the progressive path, where we do all these practices that support us, that ready us, that we're basically nourishing ourselves to get ready. Okay, good. Great. I'm so glad. And we can do more questions. Tomorrow we'll have more time for questions. I might have a little bit of time this afternoon, but I really want to give you time for the practice. I want to hand it over to Jennifer. So thanks, everybody.